Gone are the days of knights and chivalry, and yet that hasn't changed God's vision of you as a man of valor. Today, pornography is a simple mouse click away, and sexual addiction is at an epidemic level. Dr. Mark Laser is an internationally known author and speaker, the leading Christian authority on sexual addiction, and the host of Faithful and True's online radio production, The Men of Valor Program. Here now is Dr. Mark Laser.
Welcome to the Men of Valor Program. Randy, today we're marching forward on the next lesson in the current unit we're discussing out of the Faithful and True workbook.
Well, I'm proud to announce that this particular subject is one in which you are approaching 27 years of expertise on, and that is sobriety.
Yes, I celebrated my 27th anniversary on this past Monday.
Well, that slipped by me. I would have baked a cake.
Well, I knew you would. There was a number of my friends from around the country who did send me texts and a couple of cards and letters even, but 27 years is not a significant number. Well, we'll celebrate again with cakes on the 30th.
Well, I look forward to that as well. So this subject of sobriety is a great topic, and it's one which many men are desiring.
So today we're going to talk about, first of all, the definition of sobriety and, you know, how to do so and what kind of considerations are a factor there. And then we'll go on from that point to also talk about fire drills.
Well, we find ourselves using a scripture passage that's very powerful around here, and it comes from Romans 12:2. And it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will."
One of the things we're aware of, and we've talked about this, I think, any number of times before, whatever your definition of sobriety is, chances are culture is not going to support it. For example, there was a correction to all the old mythologies about masturbation back in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, we all grew up learning that masturbation was normal and it's no big deal. And, you know, your hand's not going to fall off and, you know, all these kinds of things. But in the process of overcorrecting for some of the old wives' tales about it, we came to kind of a cultural acceptance of how normal it is and everyone should do it and everyone does do it and all that kind of thing. So one of the most controversial questions in the whole field here is whether or not, when you define what sobriety means to you, whether or not masturbation should be included in that definition.
And what's your feeling on that?
Well, I definitely have a feeling that addicts should avoid it because it's a portal type of activity. It will lead to fantasies. It will lead to perhaps looking at more pornography. It rarely remains at the same level. Particularly if you struggle with neurochemical tolerance and therefore dependence on sexual arousal, masturbation will lead you farther down the road toward greater sexual sins. That's one thing. The proverbial question that comes up about this, by the way, is masturbation is not mentioned in the Bible, so it's not listed among the list of sexual sins that Paul describes, for example, in Romans chapter 1. Guys think since, you know, it's never mentioned in the Bible as being one of the sexual perversions or abominations, it must be therefore okay. I think, you know, in the interest of the length of time we have here on the radio broadcast, I think we should point our listeners to our website where I do have a very lengthy article on why I would consider that masturbation is not a good idea. It might even be something we could put in the sin category. Our Catholic brothers and sisters who are listening know that it's a mortal sin, but I have a kind of a scientific and a biblical explanation of why I think it's inappropriate.
And that article can be found under the resources on the faithfulandtrue.com website.
That's right. So you go on the website, you click the resources section, there's an article section, and then you... what's the title of the article? Do you remember?
I don't recall the specific name of it, but I know that in parentheses it says the masturbation article, because we get a lot of requests for it. Yeah. We have people contacting us saying, "I know this article has been written by Dr. Laser. I would love to have it as a resource for myself."
Yeah, it originally appeared in New Man magazine, the old Promise Keepers magazine. So I guess one of the things we should talk about here, though, is you know, what kind of activities are included, therefore, in your definition of sobriety. Basically, sobriety is in agreement with yourself and your accountability group about all of the sexual activities you're going to stop. Since I wrote this workbook, we have come up here with an acronym so that when you're checking in with your accountability group, when you're checking in with your spouse or anyone that you're feeling regularly accountable to about whether you're sober or not, it's easier just to say, I'm LAMP sober. That's the one that we're using now. LAMP is L-A-M-P. The L is maybe surprising for some of our listeners who haven't been here in a while because it's relatively new for us to include it in the last 6 months or so. L stands for lying. We all know that addicts historically are liars. So for them to be sober, to be pure, we're asking them to be free of lies so that we ask them to stop lying, particularly to their significant others, their spouse and their friends and so forth. The A is fairly obvious. That stands for adultery of any kind, whether it's sexual, across the flesh line, acting out, or whether it's an emotional affair. We would also include that. So many of the guys still have emotional relationships where they're talking to other people about emotional feelings and so forth that they're not sharing with their spouse. We think that's an emotional affair, even though they might self-righteously say, you know, I've never touched this woman. It's still technically inappropriate and unfaithful, a matter of infidelity, to have that kind of emotional connection. So that's the A. The M is for the masturbation. We already talked about that. And then the P is for, guess what, pornography. So if I say to Debbie, I'm LAMP sober, that means I haven't told her any lies, I haven't committed adultery of any kind, I haven't masturbated, and I haven't looked at pornography.
Well, that's a great acronym that covers a lot of ground there.
Yeah, I would just make a lot of our people who listen, they go to various kind of support groups out there. Some of them go to Sex Addicts Anonymous or Sexaholics Anonymous or Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. Some of them go to the faith-based or Christ-centered groups that are out there across the country. And some of you listening will know that some of these groups treat definitions of sobriety differently. Mm-hmm. SAA, for example, which is my home fellowship back in 1987, they would pretty much let you define your own definition of sobriety. Sexaholics Anonymous is a little bit more rigid. They basically have a pretty consistent definition with biblical understanding. There's no sex with yourself or others outside of a heterosexual marriage is what they say. Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous is really the more liberal of the three, and they will basically ask you to gradually increase your definition of sobriety as you get more sober and add more things to it. I just ask our listeners to say, you know, your definition of sobriety needs to be consistent with your understanding of your own faith journey, your own concept of morality, your biblical understandings of God's intention for this. One of the interesting qualities of this is that it goes back to reading the Romans 12:2 passage. You know, what culture would define as healthy sexuality is not necessarily how God would define that. What a Christian might consider immoral behavior, a secular person might not. So, you know, like, for example, in that definition I gave from Sexaholics Anonymous, no sex with yourself or others outside of a heterosexual marriage, there's a moral declaration there that the union of two men or two women is not an acceptable moral thing. So We're just saying here at Faithful and True, we're here to help you with how you define sobriety and to be consistent with that and to be the man or woman that God calls you to be.
Well, as we go to break now, we'd like to invite the listeners to stay tuned as we take a closer look at this subject of sobriety and what it takes to successfully achieve it. You're listening to Dr. Mark Laser, and we'll be right back.
Sobriety is definition of purity. We just already said that it should be based on your understanding of what you're stopping. What you're stopping should be consistent with your moral perspective on sexual sin. And one of the things we could talk about then is who are you going to share your sobriety definitions with? And I think it's important for your entire accountability group. And, you know, we preach here that you need to have at least a group of 10 men or so. All of those men need to know what your sobriety definition is. We offered an acronym, LAMP, so that if you said to your accountability partners, I'm LAMP sober, they would automatically know what you're not doing. We also encourage here for the couples that are listening or the wives that are listening, you know, I encourage all the husbands to be very proactive to let you know exactly what their sobriety definition is. And if they want to use the acronym, great. But they need to let you know what they're stopping so that if they say that they're sober today, you know exactly what they haven't done. It doesn't need to go through the entire list. I didn't masturbate today. I didn't look at pornography today. I didn't have any form of adultery today. I just think, you know, I believe in shortcuts. And I know in the first year or so of my recovery, I would just consider it my sacred obligation to let Debbie know on a daily basis, volunteer the information without her having to ask, that I was sober that day. So that's our encouragement here, and your wife needs to know. Some of this will involve full disclosure, and we've talked about full disclosure on other shows.
That's just what I was about to ask you, because mm-hmm. I would think that an individual's definition of sobriety is really outlined mm-hmm. by the details of full disclosure.
That is right. So in other words, if the spouse has a complete knowledge of the history, why some of the definitions of sobriety will be important.
Their report on their sobriety will be much more meaningful if the spouse knows that he is touching upon all of the key elements of his, you know, personal struggle.
Yeah. Now, one of the confusions that happens a lot, Randy, now that we're talking about this, is I think a lot of times the spouses and the addicts, for that matter, get kind of confused about boundaries and sobriety definition. So in other words, we've covered on another show the three circle definition of an addict's recovery plan. There's the inner circle, the stuff you're not doing. That's your sobriety definition. There's the middle circle. That's the danger zone, the yellow zone. These are the rituals, your triggers, your vulnerabilities that you get into that will lead you into the inner circle. So a lot of times husbands and wives get into kind of contentious conversations about well, I saw you staring at that woman. That would be part of a ritual. That would not be a sobriety violation. That would be in his middle circle. I saw you surfing the internet. Well, that could be part of his ritual, but not necessarily a form of acting out if he's not looking at pornography. So there again, we encourage the couples to be very intentional about their conversation. So the addict says, here are the things, bottom line, red line, this is what I'm not going to do. Now, that middle circle, in terms of my rituals, triggers that are out there in the world, my vulnerabilities, I'm going to share that with you. But, you know, like if I'm out at the mall and I get triggered by 15 scantily clad women that are just shopping in the mall that day, I'm probably not going to come home and tell Debbie I got triggered by 15 women. I'm going to tell her that I stayed sober. I didn't lust. I didn't fantasize. I didn't pursue it. I didn't get into one of my rituals. But, you know, for my accountability group, you know, the fact that I was at the mall and got triggered a lot, I may be calling one of my accountability partners so that I don't lust, I don't fantasize, I don't pursue. They have a definition of what's in the middle circle as opposed to what's your sobriety definition. What boundaries are you maintaining against some of your rituals? I think that's sometimes also important for the spouse to know. And I'll guarantee you that if you don't define boundaries against all of your ritual behaviors, your spouse may be tempted to define it for you.
Well, you give a very straightforward and very brief affirmation on this subject where you simply recommend, I can be sexually sober. And just saying that, taking the time, breaking away from your hectic day, from the hubbub around you, and spending some quiet time in meditation and meditating on, I can be sexually sober. You list here another very effective scripture passage from 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it.
Yeah, that's really great. In other words, when you commit yourself to following Christ and you trust the power of the Holy Spirit, God will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability to handle it. So handling it means that we are working the program, we are using our resources. The next thing that's in the Faithful and True Workbook, the next lesson is about fire drills.
And well, let's get into that, because that was going to be my next question. The term itself opens itself to a wide range of things that it could mean.
Yeah, it does. And I think it was probably good that we got to an understanding of the difference between the inner circle and the middle circle. The inner circle is about things you stop. The middle circle is about rituals and so forth. What we teach here is that when you get yourself into that middle circle area, then it should trigger fire drills. It should trigger automatic things that you will do to get yourself out of the middle circle. So I did use the example of you're at the mall and you do see a bunch of very attractive women and you're starting to want to lust and fantasize. That should trigger a fire drill. Now, a fire drill most commonly will involve reaching out and making contact to one of the members in your accountability group. You have a list, hopefully, of 10 to 15 guys. You're going to text. You're going to actually phone. In some cases, you're going to invite them to get together face-to-face. The whole idea of a fire drill is something that a lot of the time, some of the activities that we're talking about here, phoning, texting, getting together face-to-face, having coffee and going to meetings, these are things that you're going to need to do routinely in a very disciplined way on a daily and weekly basis. The reason it's called a fire drill is if you think about firemen and how oftentimes they shine the fire truck, tune the engine, practicing getting in their fire gear, their boots or whatever it is, they are drilling all the time. I remember driving down the highway outside our office here and seeing them putting out a fire. They set a fire some condemned building over there, and they practiced putting it out. So it's no different than the military. They drill, they drill, they drill, they drill. They have practices, you know, those kinds of things. They have exercises so that when they actually get in combat or they're actually fighting a fire, they pretty much automatically don't need to think about it. They just do it. So, you know, when you think about your program and making calls every day, texting every day with check-ins and things of that sort, going to meetings every week, this should become so automatic you don't have to think about it. Then the next trigger, the next temptation, the next lustful experience comes along, and then you should automatically, you know, reach for your phone, or you should automatically drive to a friend's house. It's in your accountability system.
So it would seem to me that you celebrating 27 wonderful years of sobriety, mm-hmm. you know, this procedure, these fire drills have become such a big part of your recovery that do they take place? Do they kick into gear almost automatically?
Yeah, they do. I think that what also happens, you know, to be honest, once you get past the third to the fifth year, somewhere in there, you've now created a new lifestyle for yourself. So fire drills have become a new lifestyle. So, you know, it's common for me to reach out and talk to friends. In fact, right before coming down to the radio station, there was something that was bothering me about one of my relationships with one of the national organizations that we do a lot of work with. And I just needed to deal with that anxiety. So I called one of my friends with whom I could be confidential and process that anxiety. Now, this was not a matter of any kind of sexual temptation whatsoever, but what I'm saying is that all the kind of principles you work to get sexually sober will also benefit you in other areas of your life.
They translate to a number of areas very effectively, don't they?
That's right. And strangely enough, the 12 steps talks about this in step 12, where we apply the principles that got us sexually sober to all areas of our life. So that fire drills become automatic, become disciplined, they become a way of life. You automatically do them, and you automatically start applying them to other areas of your life.
Well, not to be repetitious, but I'm constantly amazed how we will come across a new subject matter like fire drills or look deeper into a concept like sobriety, and it keeps bringing us back to our reoccurring theme of the importance of accountability groups, of community, of having sponsors, of having, you know, these valuable individuals in your life that you can turn to in time of need.
I'm aware sometimes, and I feel a little self-conscious about it, that whether it's on this show or whether it's in our groups or whether it's in our one-on-one sessions or a couple sessions, we can sound like broken records. I think to some people it might sound repetitive, obnoxious, opinionated, arrogant at times. I just want the people listening to know I'm aware of that. And if we are emphasizing something 50 times on this show, it's because we know it's the number one foundational thing that works.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Community.
The reason why we keep using it is because it's effective and it has changed lives.
That is right. So we need a band of brothers, a band of sisters. We need community. We need friendship. We need support. Sometimes we just need a great listening ear. And definitely with fire drills, we sometimes need someone to just answer the phone.
So in your estimation, what is our best way of wrapping up today's discussion of sobriety and fire drills as we close out today's show?
One of the things that I can get kind of passionate about, by the way, is that when we talk about definitions of sobriety, I can hear a lot of the wheels turning in some of the men listening say, you know, that's pretty tight definition. That's pretty hard. That's pretty impossible. I would just like to say with whatever modesty I can say it, I know that it's possible to be completely sober. I know that hundreds and thousands of the men that we work with have remained completely sober by their definition. And I would just like to end the show today with the hope that if you decide and you're willing to do whatever it takes to get sober, you can stay sober from a certain point, and before you know it, you'll have a year, and before you know it, you'll have 10. And it is entirely doable, entirely possible. Don't let Satan get into your life and say, well, I'm going to slip and slide around. I can't do this. That's just a lie. Don't listen to the lie. Sobriety is possible.
Here's a second affirmation to close out the show. I have the energy and wisdom to stay sober. I have the energy and wisdom to stay sober. Pray, asking God for help and committing your sobriety to Him. You've been listening to Dr. Mark Laser celebrating his 27th year of sobriety. I'm Randy Everett, your co-host, and we thank Ben Laser, our engineer and technical director, for his help today. We hope that today's message has been one of support and benefit to you, and we invite you back when we rejoin you next week on the Men of Valor program.
You've been listening to the Men of Valor program with Dr. Mark Laser. For information about this program or to learn more about Faithful and True, visit us at faithfulandtrue.com. That's faithfulandtrue.com.